Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. Providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, March 24th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. It's a big hit. Everybody loves it. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. Why? It takes just a minute, and it'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room and actually participate, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and guess what? Anything else that might just tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. I hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often.
join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the Mighty Bird Against Prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have an awesome show today, an absolutely awesome show. But before we continue with this awesome show, it is now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, the one, the only, multi-talented Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hey, Whisperer. How am I doing? Well, I've got to forewarn you, since today's Thursday and Freaky Fun Frivolous Frolicking and Fun Friday combined in a two-hour show, I did have half a cup of coffee this morning.
And I'm already in a weird mood. People in the chat room are like, oh my gosh, what's coming out of Andy's mouth? This is crazy. Look at the comments he's making. So I don't know what it is, but it's been a great day so far, and I'm telling you what, I'm not responsible, folks, for anything that goes on in the chat room.
Or the show, for that matter. It does have the flavor of Friday here. I love it. I just love it. It seems like Friday. I was in town doing my errands, and everyone was in such a good mood. I mean, it's spring, and my peach trees are blossomed out. They are fully blossomed out. The honeybees are working them like crazy. And the forsythia's coming out. There's tulips not tulips, but there's daffodils and crocus up. So everyone, I think, has a little bit of spring fever, and they're all popping out. We're just all like little crocuses coming up, putting our little heads above ground.
Crocuses.
Hey, yep. Okay, Whisper, here you go. Guess what I did this morning?
Oh, no, here we go.
now leave Robert Redford out of it this time, okay?
Okay,
my heart going a little bit. Oh, the thought of that.
Okay, let me see. What did you do this morning?
What did I? Something I'd only done once in a very small way before, intentionally.
You went, okay, let me think. Let me think here. Just give me one second. You went tiptoeing through the tulips.
Oh, and they always say that tulips are better than one, you know.
Yeah, well,
no,
only half of mine are working right now because of this doggone Bell's palsy.
Oh.
So only half of mine are working. So, yes,
it'll
two lips are better than one.
Yeah, tulips are always better than ones. No, what I did this morning, and I just did a tiny little batch. Remember, I was telling our listeners that I own part of a Jersey cow.
Yes, you
Guernsey.
Do.
No, it's Guernsey cow, right.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you already put your name on the teat that you get to milk?
I don't do any milking. I just pay pasture rent.
Oh,
so,
okay. I thought
no,
you actually
I
go out and have your own little. You have your own little teat, and you actually get all the milk out of that one particular one just for you.
You know, you're going to learn a lot when you move to your farm. It'll be a whole new experience for you. No. So anyway, what I did this morning is I intentionally made butter. And I got on the internet, I did everything about and I've made butter unintentionally before by taking whipped cream and beating it too long to where it all sort of started chunking out, and then we had to start over. I know as a kid my mother would say, now beat it and really keep an eye on it, Pat, so it doesn't get too thick. When you get those little peaks, that's the time to stop. And, of course, I'd get distracted and just keep whipping and whipping and whipping away. But anyway, so I've got this heavy cream that's raw milk, raw cream, and I let it culture, which means it sat out on the counter overnight, and that lets the good bacteria kind of do their thing and get going in it. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I got my little blender out, and I put it in there, and it was blending and blending. 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. I'm up to 30 minutes, and I think, ooh, maybe this doesn't work anymore in nature. Maybe I should just put it in the blender, or maybe I should just give up. But no, very very steadfastly, I decided I was just going to keep blending and blending. And finally, at 40 minutes, it chunked out into the butter, and I got my butter. I put some pink salt in it from the Himalayas. And so I've got some genuine, just some of the best tasting sweet cream, pretty well salted butter for raw milk that you can have. So that was part of my morning adventure, was learning and getting my system down to make my own butter in batches. How cool is that?
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
You know, just
go ahead. Well, of course, then you're done with the buttermilk. There, you have to separate it. Well, you have to really be sure and get as much of that, the leftover milk or buttermilk out of the butter. Otherwise, it'll turn rancid faster. So you're supposed to squeeze it and everything, and get all the. Some books even say to put it under running water while you're squeezing it, just to get all that out. But so I gave that then to my cats and dogs, and they loved it. They were just lapping it up and licking their chops looking pretty happy with life. So
I have a little warning here for you, Pat. Just a warning in case you didn't know this. This is a lot of people don't know this, but I'm as a public service announcement here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, you never ever want to try to milk a bull.
That's another thing you learned from the farm.
Yes, public announcement number 416 here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Don't take too handy to that.
Hey, Pat, I don't know if you know this or not. It is public information, but some people just aren't familiar. But just so you know, and all of our listeners know, because I've got to keep you all informed on the hot topics of the nation. But there is 275 days, 12 hours, 46 minutes, and 30 seconds until Christmas.
Bye. There you go, folks.
in a one-horse open chicken tractor. That's
yes.
What Jingle Bells, the new clucking Jingle Bells version is all about. A one-horse open chicken tractor.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Lord. Well, guess what I did this morning, Pat?
Oh, Lordy D. You tried to milk a bull.
No. No, never. But I went, and because, you know, we have a big event coming up this weekend, and normally before we go on the road and meet all the wonderful folks out there that we love to meet, I went over to see Sam. Sam, of course, is my barber, and I had to partake in a nice haircut and one of those wonderful hot lather shaves that I occasionally get, and it's mostly before we go out on a trip or hit the road and whatnot, because I don't have to take my razor and all that, weights down the suitcase and all that kind of good stuff. So it was very pleasant, very nice, and we had some good conversation and we had a good time. So that may be why I'm number one. It's beautiful here in Atlanta. Early morning start today. Got the good old haircut and hot shave and saw some good friends that I know and had to talk with them. And plus, we have a two-hour radio show today. Two-hour show, hot show, awesome show for all of our awesome listeners. 2 hours today. We're going to go to Chickens in the News here in a minute, but in a little while, we're going to bring on our good friend Richard Frudenberger with Back Home Magazine. He's just he is the publisher and technical writer there for Back Home Magazine. Yeah, we've been waiting for this topic for a long time. It's going to be awesome. Get your spiral notebooks ready. Heating your greenhouse with compost. That's what's coming up today. And as soon as we wrap that subject up, then we are going to start chicken trivia. Now, if you'll give me a second, I'll go through all the chicken trivia prizes we have to give away today. And that's why, and then you'll know why we had to extend this show to a special 2 hours. So, number one, we have an awesome, a really nice, really fancy brooder light with a dimmer. It's a brooder light with a dimmer switch and a 100-watt heat lamp bulb to go with that. And that's from Critter-Cages, Critter-Cages.com. We've got that today. We have not one, but two Happy Hen Treats from RandallBerkey.com, because, again, today is Fun Friday because there's no radio show tomorrow. Two options, the Sunflower Sensation and the Mealworm Frenzy. We've got two posters to give away from our friends at, of course, Mana Pro. We have some really nice chicken notepad from McMurray Hatchery. We have some... Where is it? Let me go make sure I got you the right thing here. But yes, it's some nice note cards, chicken with the chicken scene on it from McMurray Hatchery. Let me get over here to mypetchicken.com. Yes, a large rooster canister, real nice canister, a ceramic style canister with a rooster on it. We've got that today from mypetchicken.com. And keeps going and going and going. We have some brand new, they're newly released, chicken scratch magnets, a set of four magnets, really nice for any, well, however you want to use them, put them on your fridge or what have you. They're 2 1/4 inches by 2 1/4 inches, so they're pretty good size magnets, it looks like, see what we got here. I'm looking at them right now. So, of course, we got some rooster print on those, and that's from Hobby Hill Farm. Brand new sponsor starting on April 1st. We're so glad to have them on board. Ladies, let me just tell you, this is a site you're going to visit if you're looking for those awesome, not just gifts for your friends who love agriculture, chickens, equine, dogs, cats, nature, roosters, chickens, you name it. Beach and nautical, but they have tons and tons of all kinds of things, chicken decor, magnets, mugs, purses and totes, stationery and cards, hobbyhillfarm.com. And I've already had several ladies say, my husband's going to shoot you, Andy, because you should have never shown me this website. So Yeah, it's great stuff there. So you want to visit them at HobbyHillFarm.com. So as you can see, we had to extend the show 2 hours because we have so many prizes to give away today, because today is essentially, even though it's Thursday, it is Fun Friday. It is Fun Friday because no show tomorrow, but we're going to make it up for it for an extended show today, and we have a show this Saturday. Again, Jen and I, we're heading up to Delaware this afternoon, taking Amtrak, which we love, and heading up their way and meeting Dr. McCray. We're a big event this Saturday. You want to make sure you set your alarm early, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, special two-hour show, 10 to noon this Saturday, broadcasting live, not just radio, not just chat, but also HD video if the internet gods are on our side this Saturday. So you're not going to want to miss that show this Saturday. So we're really, really looking forward to that, and we hope you'll be able to join us because let's see here. Chickweed in the chat room, how long does it take to get to Harrington? And, well, we're taking Amtrak, so we'll just I think the train leaves the station at about 8:21 p.m. this evening, 8:21, and we arrive at 12:01 noon tomorrow. So we have such a great time, and we got we dinner on the train. Nothing could be finer. Dinner in the diner, and so we have fun that. So yeah,
I'm not usually train food isn't that really good. You might want to take along a grapefruit or something.
No, Pat. You got to take Amtrak. Let me tell you, we're talking prime rib, lobster, salmon.
Sure.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's absolute wonderful stuff. And we were shocked, too, the first time we took Amtrak about 4 years ago. We were like, okay, we upgraded to the accommodations car. We have our little room. Meals are all included whenever you upgrade to an actual accommodations or a room on the train. And it's all included. And we thought, you know, cold cut sandwich, whatever. White tablecloths, real silverware, waiter. It's absolutely awesome, and salmon and steak and a chicken choice, and it's like a 4-course meal. Yeah, it's wonderful, really wonderful. Surprising, it is surprising, but it is wonderful.
Wow, I better take the train again. The last time I took with an overnighter was it was fun, but of course I didn't go first class either. I was back in the back in the student section, I think.
And someone was asking where the Amtrak was, but it's we actually are going into Wilmington, Delaware. There's a train station there, so we'll get off of there in Wilmington right at noon, and we'll get our car from Alamo, and we'll head on down to where's the little town just outside of Wilmington we're staying. Anyway, we got a little bed and breakfast there, and so we're really looking forward to it. So. Great show today, lined up. We need to go right to Chickens in the News because we want to stay on track here. And Chickens in the News is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com. It's time to order those spring chicks. You can do that by going to MeyerHatchery.com. They're up in Polk, Ohio. If you live near there, you could even stop by and say hello. They have a real nice retail store there as well. Alrighty, I posted this on our Facebook page earlier. Most all of our Chickens in the News that's pertinent, we think you might like. We do post on our Chickens in the News segment there on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/ The Chicken Whisperer. Over 10,000 fans now on Facebook. This comes to us from the Food Poison Journal. I never knew there was such. Food Poison Journal. Juice. Food poisoning outbreaks and litigations, surveillance and analysis. How about that? This comes to us from Claire Mitchell. Claire Mitchell. Study finds lower prevalence of salmonella in organic poultry. Study finds lower prevalence of salmonella in organic poultry. A study conducted by scientists at the University of Georgia. In collaboration with scientists at Ohio State University and North Carolina State University, was recently published in the November 2010 issue of Foodborne Pathogens and Disease Journal. The study suggests that the prevalence of fecal salmonella and antimicrobial salmonella is lower in certified organic broiler chickens than in chickens that are conventionally raised. The authors of the study point out in the introduction that, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the incidence of salmonella, i.e. 16.2 cases per 100,000 population per year, was the least improved of all foodborne pathogens in terms of achieving national health objective targets for healthy people 2010. Poultry remains an important vehicle of salmonella transmission to humans, occurring mainly via contaminated meat. That statistic, coupled with the fact that poultry is the fastest growing meat product within the United States organic market, prompted scientists to undertake this study comparing the incidence of salmonella in organic and conventional farming operations. The authors noted that in consumers' minds, organic foods appear to be a safer alternative to conventional poultry. In performing this study, they wanted to determine whether that perception had any scientific basis. It sounds like my good friend Dr. McRae. Show me the proof! Samples for the study were collected from one poultry company in North Carolina that maintains both USDA-certified organic and conventional broiler farms. In total, the team collected 700 samples, 300 organic and 400 conventional, comprising of floor droppings, feed samples, drinking water. After analyzing the samples, scientists found that the overall prevalence of salmonella across all farms, sample types, and age group was 4.3%, 13 and 300 in organic broiler farms compared to 28% or 115 and 400 in conventional broiler farms. The study also revealed scientific findings regarding antimicrobial resistant salmonella, the authors reported. The overall prevalence of individual and multi-drug antimicrobial resistance was higher in salmonella isolates from conventional broiler farms than those with organic broiler farms. Multi-drug resistance was more frequent in salmonella isolates from conventional broiler farms, 55% compared with the organic farm of just 41%. Scientists concluded by stating the need for further study of the prevalence of salmonella in multiple large-scale certified organic farming operations. However, the study provides useful information for all consumers concerned about food safety. So how about that? Study finds lower prevalence of salmonella in organic poultry. Now, if we can just get somebody and get some funding to compare backyard birds with all the other commercially raised birds, that would be a very interesting study as well. So that's our first chickens in the news segment. Let me scroll down here.
That's an excellent article, Whisper. Thanks for bringing that. That's so important. I mean, to realize that there is such a difference between organic and free range versus the factory farms. Good article.
Thank you. Okay, two more announcements, and then we'll get to chickens in the news with Pat. This is more announcements than it is really chickens in the news. And so again, staying time on track, folks. Don't forget that we are starting two, not one, but two chicken coop contests on April the 1st, Friday, April the 1st. Again, keeping in stride with giving away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, giving away more chicken-related prizes than anybody on the planet. We want to continue that, thanks to our sponsors. Starting April 1st, we're starting a new Chicken Coops for Classrooms Spring Contest. Chicken Coops for Classrooms Spring Contest. The winter contest was such a success, we are having another one. Starting on April 1st, 2011, people across the country will be able to nominate a local public or private school to win. Prizes include, this is a big contest here for the local school, prizes include hatching eggs from mypetchicken.com, a nice incubator from brency.com, a brooder kit from critter-cages.com, and a chicken coop from waremanufacturing.com, and books from both Pat Foreman and myself. And so this is a huge, awesome prize package giveaway. It's going to start on April 1st, so we're going to tell you kind of how to do that starting April 1st, where you'll be able to nominate a local public or private school to win this awesome prize. And, of course, we'll narrow it down, and then we'll have a panel that will choose the winner. And it's going to go from April 1st until the very last day of May, all of April and all of May, two-month contest. We won't run one over the summer, but we'll start again in the fall. And we hope to have three a year, Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest, three a year, thanks to our sponsors. And so you'll be able to nominate that, and we'll really get this is going. So let's see. Let me scroll up to another one. Now, some people said, what about homeschoolers? And again, I love homeschoolers. Me and Jen plan to homeschool. But the issue there is we want to try to educate the masses as much as we can with this. And so by doing this with a low public or private school, all the kids, all the teachers, all their parents, next year's class, year after class, the year after class, versus a family of three. So if you do homeschool, here's an opportunity for you and everybody else that listens to the radio show or follows us on Twitter and Facebook. We're having another password collection for Poultry Protection Chicken Coop Contest. This starts also on April 1st. Okay. Starting on April 1st, we will start another Chicken Coop Contest for radio show listeners, Facebook fans, and Twitter followers every day. For the month of April, it actually ends up being 20 passwords because there's about, five shows a week, 4 weeks. We're going to see how that works. Every day, we will announce and post a secret password. So we'll announce it on the radio show, and then later on, we'll post it on our Facebook page. Collect all 20 secret passwords, and then on the last day of April, be the correct caller. I think it's Friday, April 29th is what the last day that we'll do this on. Be the correct caller and recite all 20 secret passwords, and you win this awesome Premium Plus Chicken Barn, from Critter-Cages.com. So not one, but two chicken coop contests we've got coming up starting April the 1st. One for chicken coops for classrooms, and then we've got one password collection for poultry protection for everybody else. So going to be a real fun time, and thanks to our sponsors that we can do this. So educating the masses in the school systems about backyard poultry, and then having fun with all of our listeners and everybody else regarding coop giveaways. So that's my chickens in the news, Pat. Do you have one? Pat Foreman?
Sorry, Whisper, I had myself muted there, which is probably a good thing today. But I have one that goes nicely along with your – I have two, and one's really important, but I'm going to do on the one that goes along with yours with the organic chickens having fewer pathogens. And this one comes to us from the Food Safety News, and it's by Marler Clark, LLP and PS. And what it says is – well, it's by Mary Rothschild actually did the writing. But they're saying that they're trying to cut the risk of foodborne illnesses caused by contaminated raw poultry. The USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, announced stricter standards to reduce salmonella and campylobacter in young chickens and turkey. So they've got new baseline standards that are due to come into effect as of July, this coming July. So the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service estimates that about 2 years of enforcing tougher standards should result in about 5,000 fewer campylobacter infections, and get this, about 20,000 fewer salmonella inspections. So these new standards are tighter, and they're going to result in a really significant number of both the campylobacter and the salmonella. So, but according to the Food Safety and Inspection Service news release, poultry slaughtering establishments have made, quote, significant strides in reducing the prevalence of both these two bacterial contaminants, but there remains too high a risk of consumers being exposed to the pathogens through the broiler chickens and the turkeys. And they're saying that these new standards will drive industry to do better. We can always do better. It's that Kaizen kind of thing of always doing better. He says these new standards are tough, but they are achievable, and when fully implemented, they will prevent tens of thousands of Americans from getting sick. Now, here's what's really interesting. It says under the new standards, this is a little really interesting, under these new revised standards, more stricter, no more than 7.5% of raw chickens can test positive for salmonella. So you're still going to have over 7% of the chickens that you buy in the store will test positive for salmonella. The previous tolerance, which I hadn't known, but what do you think? How high do you think the previous tolerance was, Whisper? Any idea?
No clue.
20%. One out of five chickens in your grocery store could be contaminated and still meet industry standards for clean meat. 20%. Whoa. So under the inaugural standards, this new one for campylobacter reduction, no more than over 10%, 10.4% of raw chicken, and no more than basically what's 0.8% of raw turkeys can test positive for that. So we're still talking about, you know, 1 out of 10 chickens can be positive for these pathogens and still meet commercial standards. I don't know about you, but I find that a little scary. Anyway, the Food and Watch in Washington, D.C., Food and Water Watch, it's a D.C.-based consumer and environmental advocacy group, said the previous salmonella standard. I get so excited about this stuff. You know, this is not capping effect. But the previous salmonella standard has been in place way too long. Since 1998, they've known about this 20%, since 1998. So what's that? That's about 15 years, 14 years. So they've been urging the agency to regularly and consistently revise the salmonella standard and the new campylobacter standard in the future. So this is from Winona Hotter. She's the executive director of the Food and Water Watch in Washington. In fact, it goes on to say, we urge the agency to post the results from all plants, about their bacterial contamination, those that fail to meet performance standards as well as those that are marginally pass, and those that succeed the standard. A pass-fail listing is not good enough. So how about that one? So we're headed in the right direction. That's the nice thing about that. But I found those numbers to be really, really interesting. What do you think about those?
Like them. Very good.
Yeah. Well, this next one has a deadline, so I'd like to kind of tuck it in here, especially since we've got a two-hour show. And this is a real call to arms. And the news is the Maryland bill to ban arsenic in chicken. Remember, we talked about that earlier, that there was a bill in the Maryland Senate and Congress to ban roxazone arsenic in chicken. It says it may die unless we act now. This is by Sarah Parsons. It just came out. It says this is an issue that makes sense to 10 out of 10 people, and that's what Maryland's Tom Hucker recently told the Baltimore Sun. And we'd heard that quote before. I mean, that was in an earlier article as well. Well, Hucker was referring to the legislation that would ban the state's poultry farmers from feeding their chickens roxazone, which, as we know, is an arsenic-based feed additive that reportedly can cause human health problems and environmental damage. And apparently, though, Hucker was wrong about how much sense it really makes to Maryland's lawmakers. I mean, it's not making sense to 10 out of 10 in Maryland, but it might be making, well, we're not going to say what it might be making, but the chairwoman of Maryland's House and Senate Environmental Committees, Delegate Maggie McIntosh, and Senator Joan Carter Conway are trying to delay the vote. They want to delay the vote on the bills to ban roxazone. And that delay then would mean that the chance of it becoming law is really drops, because it has to pass their chamber before March 28th. That's Monday. That's this coming Monday. So if it doesn't pass that chamber, it just kind of dies. So the Senate Environmental Committees, if they push back the vote beyond next week, it could do the death knell, quote unquote, the death knell for the bills to ban the arsenic. But wait, it gets more interesting. It says the death of this bill could usher in a lot more death and destruction, because besides the death of the bill, death and destruction to all our environment and as well as people. He says the trace amounts of arsenic from roxazone lingers in the chicken's flesh, and the consumers are exposed to serious health hazards just by eating poultry regularly. And we know the consumption of poultry has almost doubled. I mean, it's just going through the roof. And this is saying that there's trace amounts of arsenic in the chicken's flesh. As we know, it makes the flesh a little more pink, which is supposed to be a little more indicative of health and therefore a little more attractive on the shelves. we also, well, I'm not going to go into the history of it here, but it says here in this article, to continue on, even small chronic doses of arsenic have been shown to cause cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and a whole slew of other problems, including mental and behavioral problems. And so just to put this issue into perspective, one study from the Institute of Agricultural and Trade Policy, found that this is amazing. The majority of supermarket chicken, which is mean over half, it's about 55%, contain detectable levels of arsenic. Hold on to your belt now. While 100% of fast food chicken that was sampled contained arsenic. 100% of their study of fast food chicken had arsenic laced in with the fast food. Killing the Roxersone band in Maryland could very well be killing us as well. So not only that, but we know that failing to ban Roxersone's use also has links for the implications for the environment, very serious implications for the environment. The majority of Roxersone's arsenic is excreted through the chicken's waste. We knew that. That's been in articles that we've featured before. It says most farmers, of course, use this manure as fertilizer, and they spread it over their crop fields. But when arsenic leaches out of the chicken manure, it can poison the soil, it can poison wildlife, it can get into groundwater, and then it flows right on into aquatic systems, including the Chesapeake Bay. And they're saying that the already polluted body, that the Chesapeake Bay, is as high in arsenic, as well as wells on both sides of the bay, show arsenic levels 13 times higher. The wells that are on both sides of the Chesapeake Bay, because of spreading poultry litter on the fields, have arsenic levels 13 times higher than the Environmental Protection Agency's allowable limit. This is really serious. So, as Hucker, who was back with the, where was Hucker? She was with the Baltimore. Recently, told the Baltimore Sun, he's a Maryland delegate. He said that. Eliminating arsenic from the food supply is such a common sense measure, and it's especially surprising that even anyone is pushing for a delay on the vote. And some say, this is speculation, but some say that big ag lobbyists are pressuring lawmakers to make this bill disappear. Who else would possibly want to make this bill disappear? And especially this is evident given the about-face that some of the lawmakers are doing. It sort of gives evidence to what's happening. So, people across the nation, here's a call to arms, and you can make a difference, all you listeners out there and you poultry pioneers. People across the nation can help support the efforts to ban arsenic in the chicken by signing. You go to change.org, and they have a petition. That's change, change.org, petition, and that petition urges Maryland lawmakers to support House Bill 754 and Senate Bill 417, and I'll post this on the chat room. It's support House Bill 754 and Senate Bill 417, and these bills ban the use of Roxersone, and it, of course it is an issue for any of us who does eat commercial chicken. So, there you go. The author of this is from change.org. She's the sustainable food editor, Sarah Parsons, and she's also had articles in Popular Science, On Earth, Audubon, and Plenty. So this is serious. This is really something that needs public attention, and standing up and saying, no, I don't want arsenic in my chicken is a big deal. So do it.
Please do. Absolutely. Very good. Thank you very much for sharing that, and keep us posted, because we've talked a lot about over the couple of years Roxersone and the broiler feed across the country. So, and some of the states are really starting to crack down or trying to. So thank you very much for keeping us up to date on that. Well, Richard Friedenberger has called in, so we're going to take a short commercial break, and we come back. The show and topic you've all been waiting for, partially heating our greenhouses with compost. Yep, heating our greenhouses with compost. We're going to learn all about that. Go ahead and get that pencil sharpened. Get a brand new pen. Get a spiral notebook, because you're going to need it when we come back here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Stay with us, folks.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Rhode Island Ruby.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manapro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manapro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So I have a little something for all of our listeners that are listening at work right now. So if you're listening at work and trying to be discreet,
hey, everybody, I'm not working over here. I'm listening to the Chicken Whisperer.
Oh, you're so subtle, Whisperer. Just so subtle. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. That's for all the wonderful people that listen to the radio show at work. Thank you for tuning in today. All righty, it is now time to learn all about heating our greenhouses with compost. We've been waiting for this show for a while. Richard Freudenberger with Back Home Magazine. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Andy. Yeah, we have a pretty interesting discussion today, because it's something that can be used. Anybody who has a greenhouse or anybody who's contemplating a greenhouse may be able to incorporate some of this compost heating technology, which is very inexpensive, and get some winter growing, or at least seed starting, out of the effort, and really do it for a very low cost.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah, awesome.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so
okay.
It's like,
welcome, Richard. By the way, I wish if I could introduce our guest today. This is Richard Freudenberger. He is the publisher and a wonderful technical writer for Back Home Magazine. And Richard is a regular on our show, comes on every other week with all kinds of sustainable living and vignettes that help us live healthier, longer, happier lifestyles. So, Richard, thanks so much again for coming on.
Yeah. You know, when I'm on the show here, we always try to discuss things that are practical and applicable to people's lives. And this particular one, I'm sure there's a lot of gardeners who are listeners, and some of these gardeners may have greenhouses or even they don't have to be commercial greenhouses, just hoop houses or small greenhouses. And this story is really, really interesting, because it has a fairly long history, and it's just really low tech, and it does work. And the great thing about it is, even if it doesn't work that well, it still works well enough that the small amount of investment you put into it is worth what you get out of it. So it's pretty applicable to probably anybody in the United States, no matter what the climate. This particular story is about a woman. A woman in Delaware who's actually a commercial grower, but it's a very small business, so she doesn't have huge commercial greenhouses like you think you're thinking of, the glass and steel frame things. She's got some small hoop houses, and the one particular house that she's discussing in the article here is only a 12 by 16 foot unheated greenhouse that she uses to in the late winter and through the through the very early spring, she would start her seeds in the greenhouse there, and just start the small seedlings. Now she grows herbs, but she also grows some more popular vegetables for sale. Tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, red beets, greens, some cut flowers. So she has a pretty varied menu as far as her product goes. And I'm assuming in Delaware, there where she has her business, she sells to individuals and to nurseries and plant and flower stores around, I'm sure. But the point is that she has a fairly low capital operation there, and she has to get by and make do with what she has. And so in her greenhouse part of the business, she would use the greenhouses to start her seedlings. And in the daytime, I'm assuming, everything was fine in the especially in the warmer days. But then when it got too cold, her greenhouses are not heated, or her greenhouse was not heated. So she'd have to keep a good eye on the weather and the weather forecast. And if it was going to freeze that night, she would have to drag all the flats back into the house or into the porch where it was protected. And I'm sure it came to be a real pain in the neck, back and forth, I'm sure several times a week in some of those colder weeks. So what she did was she did a little research, and she knew about the trays in the greenhouse operations. There are one way of keeping the greenhouses warm, even in the commercial greenhouses, is to heat the trays, keep the soil warm. So they have the seed starting trays on a bed of warm water heated flats or benches that water is being heated by a furnace of some type, or electrically, and it's being passed through tubes, which goes into the top of the table, and the seed flats are placed on the table. And all that's well and good for a larger commercial greenhouse where they can afford to be spending money for propane or electricity to be doing that, and that's how they do it in those bigger homes, bigger houses. But she didn't have the money for that, so she knew she could use the trays heated by hot water, but then she had a point of how to bring in the hot water, and she did a little research and figured out that there have been experiments where the thermophilic action of compost decomposing actually creates a fair amount of heat. And so she just combined the idea of the decomposing working compost with her need for the hot water or warm water, and she put the two together. Now, this isn't a new idea. In fact, prior when I was working at the Eco Village in my other job prior to Back Home Magazine, we had exactly this going on at the same time. There was a French guy by the name of Jean Pain, Jean Pain, and he's actually a forester in the south of France. But his family were big gardener advocates, and they were big gardeners. So he developed the same deal on a larger scale. He had set up a number of fairly large compost piles. He put black plastic tubing in the piles and built the piles around the tubing. He had coiled the tubing around, forced water through the coils of tubing with a small pump, and the water would go in at, say, 50 degrees Fahrenheit and came out at about 160 degrees Fahrenheit on a large working pile. And he had several piles going at different stages of its composting activity. So he always had a good warm supply of warm water, which he then fed through trays in tubes and heated his greenhouses that way. And so this woman must have read that article or something like that, and she just downscaled a little bit to work with her operation. And just to give you an idea of the cost, her greenhouse is only a 12 by 16 greenhouse covered in plastic, so it's not a big investment there. And the compost container is just rat wire, just a sort of a heavy gauge a utility fence wiring. I think it's about 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet high, and about 4 feet in diameter, something like that, 3 to 4 feet in diameter. So it's no big investment. And she's wrapped a sort of a cheap frame with this wire, so it makes a cage, and that's where her compost goes. And so she's coiled a number of feet of 1 inch or 3/4 inch plastic, but composite PVC type black plastic pipe in the compost pile. She's actually built the compost pile around the pipe, and then in the center of the compost pile, she put a 5 gallon bucket and a very small pump. So, here it is. Here the diameter of her compost pile is 5 feet, and the height is 4 feet, and the little 5 gallon bucket's right in the middle of it. And so a black plastic pipe goes into the bucket, and the pump is in the bucket, and the pump is drawing on a container full of about 4.5 gallons of water, and it's getting pumped out of there. So the water is always entering the container, getting pumped out. So there's always a circulation of warm water coming out and cooler water going in, and that whole reservoir of 5 gallon or 4.5 gallon reservoir of water is surrounded by working compost, which gets up to a temperature of, I see by a chart here she's done, temperature of 150 degrees Fahrenheit. So it comes in about 45 and goes out at 150. So she's got a really nice temperature differential there. All in the process of...
Richard, I'm writing this fast here. Did you say it comes in at 45 degrees? Is that what you were saying? The water goes into the bucket and it comes out at 150. Okay.
Well, it comes
out
at 150. So that's the highest temperature. It doesn't at other times of the year in the season, depending on the point at which the compost is working, because the compost doesn't maintain a constant temperature.
Right.
As it builds up the heat, it goes up the scale, and then as it works and cools down, it goes down. But the lowest temperature is 125. That's still plenty warm. So we're working in a range on the exit side, a range of between 125 degrees Fahrenheit and 150 degrees Fahrenheit, all in the process of working compost. So the compost is working anyway, so this is essentially free heat.
Right. And then you said that the original article that she referred to was by Pierre, and I didn't get his last name.
No, his name is Jean. Jean, J-E-A-N, in France. And
okay.
His last name is Pain, just like, well, it's bread, actually, in French. P-A-I-N.
And do you know the name of his article?
No, I don't remember that. It was
and,
just
and, yeah,
it was
and then,
just composting with heat.
There's an article in Back Home Magazine though that describes this. What issue was that in?
Okay, it's issue number 96, which is our September October 2008 issue.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and the title of our article was Biomass Greenhouse Heating, which is pretty descriptive. So, it wouldn't take much to locate that in the magazine. She worked with a $200 grant from FAIR, which is the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program, which is part of the federal USDA, just for experiments like this. With a grant of $200, she actually developed this whole thing and kept accurate records, developed a chart, took photos, and wrote it up. So I just interviewed her, and we built an article out of some of her research. And this is a perfect example of for once, government money actually going and doing something good. Notice how when they do good stuff with it, it always seems to be a very little bit of money that it happens with. So, for $200, she did a really good bang up job. And I just want to let people know how much value this actually contributed to her operation. She told me that she had to have the heat. She was just getting really not being able to take those plats in and out of the house. As most people know, professional growers get really busy in the early spring and, obviously through the season. But a real busy time for them is going to be in March and April when they really have to be doing everything at once. So she could not spend the time taking these plats in and out and all that kind of thing. So she would have had to buy a propane heater to keep the greenhouse warm if she wanted to continue her operation the way she had been doing it. The cost of that heater, to heat her 12 by 14 foot greenhouse, was $1,400. The cost of the heating, the wiring, the duct system, whatever, just to make the investment in the heater. And then it would have cost her a daily cost from December 1st through March 29th. It would have been a daily cost of $7 a day to keep the thing going at the heat level which she needed to keep the flats warm enough and keep the plants warm enough to propagate. With the compost heat, and the compost, mind you, is being used when she finishes making the compost, she uses it in her growing operation. So it's not just something you need to make the heat, it's also something she uses. The compost heating cost per day, really just to operate the little pump that she has going, was 30 cents per day.
All
so
right.
She's the price differential, 30 cents versus $7 per day, what she's doing has a zero carbon impact, and as opposed to the propane. Of course, propane is not an awfully bad impact, but it's expensive. So the differential is quite substantial, and at the end of the day, she's not only getting the heat she needs for the greenhouse, but she's also getting the compost for use in her garden. So it really, really was a win-win situation for her as far as everything goes. And the whole thing, cost her, and I know she did scrounge some metal, and she did get some things, get some stuff at used prices and that kind of thing. But the whole thing cost her about $200. So it really was a good operation. Now, to make things clear, this wasn't absolutely labor free. I mean, she did have to build the wire cage, and she does have to turn the compost. I mean, it's not something that you just put in there and let it sit. I mean, you layer the compost, and she had to work the layers of compost around the tubing that she wrapped in there. But she did have to partially dismantle the compost pile and turn it, and then redo it. So there is some labor involved, but really, it seemed to be a pretty good trade-off as far as what she got out of it and so what she put into it. And to make it clear, as for anyone who, especially for people who have made compost before, you have to turn it anyway. It's not like you just let it sit there. I mean, you do have to get in there and churn it once in a while, get the aeration going, and turn the stuff that's exposed to air down into the place where it's not exposed to air, and bring the stuff that's been buried out of the air back up into the air, to keep the moisture and the air going within the pile, keep the thing working. So,
Richard, quick question. What was the lady's name that got the FAIR grant and built this?
She lives in I'm not sure of her town. She lives in mid-Delaware, somewhere in mid-state Delaware. The name of her business is Misty Morning Herbs, And her name is Cassidy.
Morning.
Yes.
Right, Misty Morning Herbs, H-E-R-B-S.
Yes. Right,
okay.
and her name is Catherine Brooks.
Catherine Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S?
Yeah. Correct.
Right, thank you.
Yeah. And she has made a, I think she's done a little book about her, not just the compost as well, but I think she's done a little, I'm sure she's selling the book, but we don't sell it, but I think she is selling it. It's a sort of a self-published pamphlet on the operation and how she set it up and everything. The magazine article has you know, a lot of detail in it, so that would be probably fine for most people.
Richard, another question now. Can they go online to get that article back home?
No,
magazine.com or?
We never did that. Actually, that's an article we probably should make. We should put it online as a clickable PDF so people could do. We do not have it at this point, but
they can order back issues.
Yeah, they can do that. They can order the back issues, and we can send them the back issue, and it's all in there. That and 22 other articles about everything from old time music to the benefits of bicycling to eating raw foods to lighting your home or cabin with non-electrical lighting. So there's all sorts of stuff going on in that issue. That was a good issue. But you do make a good point. We should be putting some of these articles online so people can access them without having to order the issues. And I know that doesn't sound like it's a paying venture for us, but actually it is, because once people start seeing one or two articles, they almost invariably start ordering the magazine. So that's, you know, from our viewpoint, that's a good thing, you know.
Well, and then the other thing, of course, is that so folks know, the Back Home staff is the original Mother Earth News staff before they went to New York. So these are the original original pioneers that really did the Good Earth Village or the Back Home Village and the Mother Earth News. It was a Mother Earth Village.
It was the Eco. It was called the Eco Village. Is that
Eco Village.
Called?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
yeah,
we have borrowed a lot of technology from that and moved it forward. And we did a lot of practical things and still do. I mean, our magazine, as longtime readers probably know, the magazine is written, probably about three quarters of it is written by people just doing stuff out there. Just out there in the big world doing things, and we share and create information around and publish the good stuff and sometimes even publish the bad stuff so people know what not to do, which is almost as important sometimes. So that's a good point. But this is one of those projects that I think really has some potential for people to at least experiment, because even if it didn't work all that well for them or if it didn't work at all, it would not have been like a big loss. I mean, there's you could probably take the whole thing apart and use every component that you had gotten together and use it for something else and not have lost anything. So I think it's good. But I think if you know how to make compost, it's going to work for you. And you know, just to give you an example, the readings in the chart here that we worked up with her, December 1st was the start of the first compost pile. And it ended on March 29th, the end of March. So we're talking about all of December, all of January, all of February, and all of March. And essentially for a woman in this climate, which is, you know, pretty moderate, not warm but not too cold, Atlantic coast climate, that's the perfect off-season, normally off-growing season that you do want to use for propagating seeds, fixing stuff in the greenhouse. But as it gets into like late December and early January, you want to start thinking about getting your seed trays ready and starting seed propagation and making sure everything's warm enough to get things going. So just to give a range, the entire operation took place from the building of the compost pile on December 1st to the end of the experiment, which is actually the end of March, beginning of April. But in the meantime, on the during the period of, say, December 22nd, which was the start of the actual greenhouse internal temperature measurements, ending on March 29th, so that's still a good, you know, 3.5 months or three plus months of working time. The outdoor low, ambient outdoor low temperature hit 10 degrees Fahrenheit outside the greenhouse on January 14th, and the greenhouse high on that day was 80 degrees Fahrenheit. So that gives you an idea how well this thing was working. the outdoor high on that particular day was 29 degrees Fahrenheit during around noon on that date of January 14th, and the greenhouse low at night then was 42 degrees. That's plenty comfortable. It's not going to freeze. That's a good 10 degrees or so of leeway there. So the absolute greenhouse low throughout the whole testing season was 39, 40 degrees. So that's, you know, it's still well within the margin of safety. The greenhouse high during that whole experiment period was 92 degrees Fahrenheit, and that was in March 1st. So, you know, she's doing pretty good, I would say.
Yes.
And wow. And even in those highs there, her compost pile was only in the range of 125, 130 degrees. So, you know, it shows the ability of how the how things were, you know, being able to withstand the outdoor climate, which was, you know, hovering somewhere between the lows and outside were hovering somewhere between 40 degrees and, I've said, 10 degrees, with an average of, I don't have the actual average, but I'm looking at the chart, it looks to be around 30, right about the freezing point, you know, somewhere between the 28 and 31 degrees, it seems to be a good average temperature there. So the investment was well worth it for her, and all going on at the time when she really needed that warmth to avoid her having to take those trays in and out to a warmer place. I don't know how far away the house was from the greenhouse. I think it's probably pretty close, but it's still a big pain in the neck to listen to the weather, do something about it, you know, drag the trays in, prep them, you know, in the morning and take them back out again, make sure they're in the right place, and, you know, watch the weather again to make sure you're not going to freeze. And, I will say that this may not work as well in Minnesota, for example, or someplace where it's going to get really, really cold at night, but, you know, most of the country is in a pretty favorable, milder climate, so it may work for for a lot of people.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, yes, it would work for just about any temperate or even down there in Atlanta, Georgia. There, Whisper, you get pretty cold nights. You guys have had some pretty interesting snow and ice this year. It could work there. So that's Wow, Whisper, this is awesome.
Yeah, and I just will point out, I'm not a greenhouse expert by any means, but I do know by adding a second layer of plastic in the cheap greenhouse, you know, I'm calling them cheap, they're not necessarily cheap, in the lower cost hoop houses, which is actually a really good use of cost to benefit ratio as far as what you put into the little greenhouse building and what you get out of it. Just an extra layer of plastic on the inner wall, inner surface with an airspace in between can really insulate the greenhouse substantially for very little additional cost, and with the addition of a special bubble, sort of like the bubble wrap plastic, well, the kind you see in packing, but it's not exactly that. It's a higher quality. They make a sheet, a greenhouse sheet that uses that kind of bubble technology. That really is an insulative barrier, and that can make a substantial difference in heat loss in the winter. So it's a little bit of finagling around with the plastic wrapping on a small greenhouse or hoop house, you can really get some benefit out of it, and that'll hold the heat in, and with the input from the compost pile, you've got a really good operation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and cost effective, so amazingly cost effective. Absolutely no fossil fuel used at all, except electricity to run the pump.
Yeah, the electricity. Yeah, the electricity. If you plug in, you're going to have a negligible amount for the for the use of electricity, but it's, like I said, at 30 cents a day, that is hardly anything.
Yeah, well, and that could even be run off a solar panel and a battery.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly the kind of application that would be perfect for a solar panel, because it's such a small draw, very, very, very small.
Wonderful. What news? Well, that certainly is news to use and think about as you expand your homestead, living off the grid and just self-sufficient lifestyle. Yeah. Great. Whisper, do you have any questions for Richard and the heating a greenhouse with biomass?
It's just so exciting. I mean, these things that we hear about on the show that you can actually go out this weekend and implement without a lot of cost involved, and it's beneficial and productive and energy saving, and it's just awesome, because now a lot of people are starting to start things in their greenhouses this year. A lot of people are putting in first-time greenhouses, hoop houses. So this is great information to have, without a doubt. And folks, I tell you, a lot of times, Richard Friedenberger is on the show the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. He comes on and shares all kinds of great information and his depth of knowledge. And if you like it when he's on the show, why stop there? Go ahead and subscribe to his magazine, backhomemagazine.com. There you can subscribe. You can give them a call, and you'll talk to a real live human.
Yes, and, that's right.
Yeah, and they will take your information, and you can just continue everything that you learn here, but get that in your mailbox as well. So,
And Whisper, not just a real life human, but a really nice, knowledgeable live human.
Yeah. When you call that 800 number, it is not transferred to India, where they take your order. It's someone right there in the hills of, I believe, North Carolina. Correct.
Yeah, we're in the mountains of Western North Carolina, and you'll get a real person, and the number is 800-992-2546, or as you said, you just go online, backhomemagazine.com, and we can help you out that way. There's a lot of places you can go from that website to look at things and read about things, and we have books and magazines and subscriptions and back issues and all sorts of products and everything. So we always welcome new readers, and the more readers we have, the more potential articles we have too, because we like to share things with our readers. So it makes it a good cozy little symbiotic relationship. And talking about gardening, I just dumped this weekend. Just dumped probably 6 to 8 wheelbarrow, big construction wheelbarrow loads of chicken bedding, used chicken bedding, manure, and paper shreds and everything into the garden for churning and making more soil. So I think people, I don't know how everybody is. I'm sure in some parts of the country we're not quite at that point yet, but we certainly were last weekend, and we're starting the spring. Spring has sprung, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, too, if you go to the backhome.com website, they've got books on construction, on energy, on food, gardening, greenhouses, homesteading, home businesses, livestock references. They've got building plans for just all kinds of things, including timber frame and cordwood construction with Rob Roy's work. And they also have plans for a tub-style mechanical chicken plucker, and that's something that could save you quite a bit of money, because those chicken pluckers, they start at about $500 and then go up from there. And they also have home plans for a chicken scalder, as well as apple cider pressing, do-it-yourself chicken coops. I mean, it's just a wealth of information that is focused on living lightly on the planet and being self-sufficient. So go check out their website. backhomemagazine.com.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, thank you very much for joining us today. Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
No, not really. I think this was this kind of thing is just the perfect thing we like to talk about, because it really works and it's doable. It doesn't cost much. That's the kind of thing we love at the magazine. So I guess the only thing I can say is that next 2 weeks from now, we'll see you again, and we'll be talking about something else in the homestead, renewable energy, whatever field. So we'll be joining both of you at that point.
That sounds like a plan. That's wonderful. Thank you again so much for joining us. And again, Richard Friedenberger, publisher, Back Home Magazine, technical writer, and lots of great information. Do visit them online at backhomemagazine.com. All righty, Pat. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to start a very lengthy chicken trivia contest. Did you get my voicemails today, Pat?
I did. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
Just
thank
wanted
you
to make
for
sure.
The warning.
I didn't know.
Thank you for the warning. This is more than the 10 seconds.
No.
I do.
Very good. So, we'll go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to start opening up the chicken trivia contest phone lines and whatnot. We'll explain how it works for all of our first-time listeners and newbies that are joining us today to take part. Lots of prizes to give away today. Very exciting. We've got 40 minutes to do this, and we'll return right after this short break with chicken trivia. We'll see you soon.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at mcmurrayhatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Alrighty, that could only mean one thing. It is now time for our chicken trivia contest. It is not Fun Friday. Pat, you're back live, by the way. It is not
okay,
Fun Friday. But, we normally do this on Friday, but since tomorrow we'll be on the road and there will be no radio show tomorrow, today is taking the place of Fun Friday. But no frets. We'll be back with you Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, this Saturday. Go ahead and set your Blackberries, your iPhones, your alarm clocks. Those of you who have won Rooster alarm clocks, set your alarm, 10 a.m. this Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live an HD video from Cooptastic up in Harrington, Delaware, if the internet gods are with us. Again, if you tune in at 10 and there's silence, don't fret. Give us a few minutes because we may be dealing out some technical problems, and we'll try to let you know, get the chat room open, things like that, what we can and can't do. But hang in there with us because when we go on the road, it's always a challenge sometimes. Dealing with what we're dealt regarding connectivity and things, we'll just do our best to broadcast live this Saturday at 10 a.m., and we hope that you can join us live. Okay, let me I guess I better need to refresh this page here so I can access some of my trivia questions, and let's see what else I need to get Yeah, I need to refresh that page too so I can access some of the chicken trivia questions and analyze and access some of the prizes we're going to give away. We are going to start with some happy hen treats. Let me explain kind of how this works. We'll be asking a chicken trivia question. We will deem a correct caller for each question. And if you are the correct caller, then you answer the question correctly, you win the prize. Then you're going to have to email me. You will email me with your name, shipping address, telephone number, and the prize you won. Put it in there so we know what you get. The prize that you won, your name, your shipping address, and a phone number for the shipping agency if we have issues with shipping. We don't keep any of that, so if you won yesterday, I need the information again. We don't store or keep any of that stuff. If, let's say, you're the right caller, we get the wrong answer, then we go to the next caller and the next caller and the next caller until we get a big winner for chicken trivia prizes. And we do have a lot of prizes to give away. And we are going to start, first things first, with, let me get my chicken trivia open here as well. And I know you've got some as well, Pat, so let me get all this started now so we can run smoothly through our chicken trivia contest. Okay, it's opening up. Checking for viruses. Okay, good.
Hey, Whisper, just a little comment here while your computer's checking for viruses. I just want to thank Funny Farmer on the web chat group. He's saying that he's got an email ready to send about the arsenic issue. They live in Delmarva.
Delmarva, yeah. I'll be over in that area. Yeah, I'm heading up that way.
Yeah, well, that's where all this is taking place because it affects the Chesapeake Bay and all the watershed area that's there so much. So thank you, Funny Farmer there in the chat room. Thanks for doing that.
All righty, here we go. It's time to start chicken trivia here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And the very first prize we're going to give away, we'll start off with our good friends over at RandallBurkey.com. RandallBurkey.com. And remember, you get 10% off your entire order. 10% off your entire order, whether you order online or order by phone, when you go to RandallBurkey.com and place an order there, 10% off when you use the coupon code WHISPER. The coupon code WHISPER. So let's see. I'll go ahead and start with this one. So, Pat, you pick the number caller today for the first contest.
Okay, well, since we've got so much time coming up, I mean, 40 minutes, that's pretty wonderful. How about caller number 20?
Caller number 20, okay, and actually we got 32 minutes now.
32
so
minutes.
No problem,
all
we
right.
Should still be able to try to get this all done. Y'all know the drill, rolling. Okay, and caller number 20, question. What breed is known as Pekins in other parts of the world? What breed is known as Pekins in other parts of the world? P as in Paul, E-K-I-N-S. P-E-K-I-N-S. What breed is known as Pekins in other parts of the world? You should call number 20 at 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. You call in that number and you press 1. The young lady will say, please press 1 to speak to the host. And so if you want to try to answer this, then you will press 1. So we'll know that you're calling in to participate and not just calling in to listen like many people do. So what breed is known as Pekins in other parts of the world? That's what we're looking at.
Does that mean they just kind of peek? They go peeking at things?
So.
Peeping at things? We don't have a breed called peeking. Peeping.
It must.
Oh, dear. Pekin. P-E-K-I-N-S.
Pekins.
Mm-hmm. Pekins. They're just pekins here and pekins there.
Yeah. So what do we call them here? That's the question. Call number 20, 347-637-3237. This is for Happy Hen Treats. You can get your Happy Hen Treats. You don't get to specify. You'll either get Mealworm Frenzy, or you'll get the Sunflower Sensation. So that's what you're going to get. Okay. Wow, it lit up. Lots of people know this. Heading to caller number 20. You're live on the air with Andy and Pat from area code 908. 908, tell us your name and where you're calling from, please. Area code 908. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? How are
Hello?
You?
Hello.
Don't be shy. You're on the air.
Yeah.
On the
Phantom.
Say again. We're breaking up, Whisper. I'm getting the static.
Okay. All righty. Then that means we go to call number 21. From area code 860, you're on the air. State your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hello, Pat and Andy. This is Walter from Connecticut.
Walter!
Hey, Walter. Congratulations. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, we got still snow. We had snow last night. It's killing us.
Oh, don't say that.
I got to get down south.
Just get a heated compost pile in your house and stay warmer.
Okay, we got Cochin Bantams.
Yeah, we'll take that. Bantam Cochins. That's exactly right. Yeah, perfect. We'll take that. No problem at all. That is the correct answer. You've won some Happy Hen treats from RandallBerkey.com.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You know the drill. Just send us an email. A little bit different here. Put in, your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and the prize you won. Just put Happy Hen treats. Happy Hen treats. Your name, shipping address, and phone number, and we'll get those over to Peach at RandallBerkey.com and get those shipped out to you up there in cold, cold Connecticut. How about that, folks? All righty. Okay. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Okay, Pat, I get to pick the caller this time. Caller number nine, and you get to read the question.
Okay. The question is, what is the difference between determinate and indeterminate tomatoes? What is the difference between determinate and indeterminate tomatoes? This is obviously a gardening question for the gardening side of our listeners.
347. Go ahead.
347-637-3237. Yep. 347-637-3237. So, how many tomatoes are you going to grow this year, Whisper? You got them started yet?
Goodness, no. I don't know this year if, again, between the baby on the way, between our big move 3 hours away and our travel schedule, that I hate to plant things and then have them die because I can't take care of them. I hate that. It's so just upsets me so much when I can't get. So, again, we're getting the farm ready. We did put down our cover crop of winter rye, and we'll be turning that over, of course. But we got to get our fencing up. We got to get our animals down there. So much. Winters are coming in a week. They're painting right now. The sheet rocks up. I just don't know when I would even have time to go out and till my garden. So it's a. I don't think we will have a fall garden. I assure you, we'll have a fall one. But just the next few months, with again the baby, the move, the travel schedule, I don't think it's going to happen this year. This will be the first year, probably in 8 or 9 years, we haven't had a garden. So I hate that, but we'll see what we can do. So. Okay. Oh, wow. Let's go to the phone lines. Lots of people know this. We said caller number 9, and we'll head down here. We got two from this area code calling in today, so I've got to give the first area code and then the first three. Caller number 9 calling in from 609-465. You're live on the air with me.
Who's that?
That's Louise, Dragonfire.
All right, Louise. Very good.
Louise.
Very good.
Dragon? Which one are you, Louise?
Dragonfire.
Dragon Farms. Say again?
Dragonfire.
Dragonfire. All
right. Right, as in you don't want to get burned.
Right. That's right. Okay. So, Louise, the question is, what's the difference between determinate and indeterminate tomatoes?
Okay, determinant tomatoes are bush tomatoes. They produce all their crop at once and then they die. Indeterminate are vining tomatoes. They produce all through the season.
Excellent. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Indeterminate are bush tomatoes, pretty much, and they only put out blossoms once and then they die, whereas the indeterminate varieties are vining. They can grow up to 10 feet tall, and they will set fruit and ripen throughout the entire season until the frost comes. So, excellent. Well done, Louise.
Congratulations, Jeb. And so you know the drill. Send us an email, again, with your name, shipping address, telephone number, and the prize you won, which, again, is Happy Hen Treats, either the Mealworm Sensation or the Sunflower, Mealworm Frenzy Sunflower Sensation from RandallBurkey.com. Remember, you get 10% off when you order with the coupon code Whisper. And so there's two down and many, many to go. So congratulations. Send me that email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Name, shipping address, phone number, and a prize that you won. And we'll go from there. All righty, moving right along. Let's go. And let me get this email open here so I can tell you the prizes that we got giving away from McMurray Hatchery. Famous for their awesome catalog, McMurrayHatchery.com, out there in Iowa. And so we've got, I'm pretty sure it's Iowa, and McMurrayHatchery.com, famous for their awesome, awesome catalog. We have, wrong email. There we go. A really nice set of note cards, valued at about $8. And let's see what we got here. Beautiful, beautiful. Let me click on these, actually, and let you know. It's really nice note cards of also a print that they have called The Apprentice. And it's got a picture of a farmer and his son and his daughter, and his son is pouring out some scratch on the ground out of a bucket, and he got a lot of hens. It's really, really nice, nice print. And these are the note cards. So really, really nice gift here. And that's, again, from McMurrayHatchery.com. Of course, they're famous for their awesome McMurray Hatchery catalog. Okay, Pat, you pick the caller, and I'll ask the question.
Okay, I like number 8 because it's infinite. Good old number 8.
Very good. Call number 8. You're going to have to name 3 internal parasites that poultry are susceptible to. Name 3 internal parasites that poultry are susceptible to. 3 of them. That's what we're looking for. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Awesome. McMurrayHatchery.com. We've got some note cards. And I love the picture. I really, really do. It's the first time I had looked at it. And really nice. Again, nice scene behind a little chicken coop. Looks like it's got a little thatch roof chicken coop. A father and his daughter and his son feeding some chickens around the chicken coop. Really nice. I'm impressed. Very nice. At McMurrayHatchery.com for our chicken trivia contest today. And caller, you said what? 8?
Number 8. Yes, sir.
Yep. Name 3 internal parasites that poultry are susceptible to. That's what we're looking at for caller number 8. And remember, if you call in, you got to press 1. If you call in and want to participate and get in queue for the contest, then you got to press the number 1. Okay.
Okay. Don't forget to push that 1. That is really important.
All righty, caller number 8, calling in from area code 816. 816, you're live on the air with Andy and Pat. State your name and tell us what state you're calling from, please.
Janet in Missouri.
Hey, Janet in Missouri. Thank you very much for calling in today and participating. And we would like for you to name 3 internal parasites that poultry are susceptible to.
How about fecal worms, capillary worms, and tapeworms?
Works for me. And would of course, took roundworm and gizzard worm and gape worm. I think you said tapeworm and a Cecil. And capillary worm. Perfect. That's great. You have one. Those beautiful note cards from McMurrayHatchery.com. Yeah, I'm jealous because they're really nice. I know you're going to love them. Again, if you'll just send me an email to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, name, shipping address, phone number, and put in there McMurray Hatchery note cards, and we'll get those over to our good friend Matthew over at McMurray Hatchery, largest rare breed hatchery in the world. And visit them online at McMurrayHatchery.com. Very cool. Awesome. How fun is that? All righty. Moving right along. Let me go ahead and get back over here and see what kind of awesome prize we have to give away from our friends over at MyPetChicken.com. Oh, yeah. This is real nice, too. God, our sponsors are great. This is a rooster canister, a large rooster canister. This large sealed canister features a perky rooster design and an airtight fit. This large canister holds 3.5 quarts, and it goes hand in hand with a set of 3 small canisters featured below. You can see on their website. Microwave and dishwasher safe. It weighs 4 pounds. That'll tell you how nice it is. It's 3.5 quarts, and it's 12 inches high and 7 inches wide at the base. So this is a big, nice canister. It lists for $25. It's on sale for $16. Plus shipping right to your front door from our good friends Derek and Tracy at MyPetChicken.com. Longtime sponsor of the show, giving away many coops, and lots of great things for our contest with the classrooms. And so this is a real nice gift. 12 inches high, 7 inches wide at the base. Has a real nice painting of a perky rooster on it. Perfect for your kitchen counter. And so let's see. I pick the caller, and you ask the question, Pat. Good question.
Okay.
This is a great prize. And we'll take caller number 10. Caller number 10.
Okay, the question for this perky rooster canister, Holtzgraf, by the way, the question is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? Is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? And I just saw my rhubarb perking up out of the ground this morning, so it's starting to come up from the winter. Is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? You got to plant some rhubarb down there at your new farm there, Whisper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rhubarb fruit or vegetable? Of course, the rhubarb leaves are poisonous until they're boiled, so don't necessarily eat the leaves. And while we're talking about rhubarb, I can honestly say that chickens just leave it alone. My chickens are free-ranged around the rhubarb, and they just have absolutely no interest in the rhubarb itself, but they'll really go for the clearing the mulch up and eating the bugs and the grubs that are underneath it. So that's one thing that chickens don't like is rhubarb. How about that?
Mm. Nice. Lots
yeah, rhubarb and strawberry pie is one of my favorites. I love rhubarb and strawberry pie.
Oh, a lot of people know this. I just switched back over to the switchboard screen and, woo, it lit up like a Christmas tree. Lit up like a Christmas tree. Call number 10, I believe I said.
Yes, you did. Call number 10 for the perky rooster canister. Oh, rhubarb and strawberry pie. Oh, yum. And jam.
Call number 10, you're live on the air with Andy and Pat calling in from area code 334. 334. You'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
I'm Megan Malay from Alabama.
Hey, Megan from Alabama. How you doing next door over there?
Fine.
Good, good.
The vegetable.
Pat?
Oh, yes. The question again is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? Alabama is sort of neighbors to Georgia, and I was kind of pondering that. But you guys are neighbors. Is rhubarb a fruit or a vegetable? What's the answer?
A vegetable.
That's exactly right. And rhubarb is a vegetable. that's right. Because sometimes it's thought of as a fruit because it's often eaten as dessert, but we eat the stems of the rhubarb, not the fruit or not its seeds. So that's why rhubarb is a vegetable. Very good.
Great.
Well done, Megan.
Congratulations from our friends over there in Alabama. And we appreciate you listening, neighbor. And just, again, just as in the chat room it says, just send us an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Name, address, phone number, and the prize you won, put on there, my pet chicken canister, the rooster canister. And we'll get that over to our friends, Derek and Tracy, at mypetchicken.com. Mypetchicken.com. We'll get that out to you as soon as we possibly can. Okay. And this is great. Let me get over here to this other email. Ladies, I'm telling you, you're going to love this website, HobbyHillFarm.com, HobbyHillFarm.com. I've already had a couple of threats from some husbands that say, why do you keep telling my wife about that store? She keeps ordering things from there. So, because it is, it's awesome. HobbyHillFarm.com, and we've got a nice set. It's a brand new item. Chicken scratch magnets. Chicken scratch magnets. It's brand new. It's going to be a real popular item there. And they're two and a quarter inches by 2 1/4 inches, so good size magnets. And on tumbled tile stone. And they're on tumbled tile stone chicken scratch magnets. You're going to like it. And you can see those if you go right now to HobbyHillFarm.com and then search for those. Chicken scratch magnets probably come right up there, and you can see exactly what you're going to be playing for. And, Pat, you get to pick the number, and I get to ask the question.
Okay, let's go with Sweet 16. Sweet 16.
Sweet 16!
Yeah.
Alrighty, reminds me back when me and Jen were dating. How about that? Alrighty.
Goes back quite a ways.
Alrighty, she was 16, and she was 16, and I was 45. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Where
okay,
are you in trouble?
I'm telling you. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, here we go. And we're going to take an approximate on this. If you're not, this is just, it's too much of a difficult question to have the exact answer, I think. So we'll take an approximate guesstimation with this one. You have to be close, though. You have to be at least close with the answer of this because, it's a really difficult question, and there's really just one answer, but due to the, you'll see what I'm talking about. So if you're close to this number, then you're going to win. Okay. And what number call? You said Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
How many sweat glands does a chicken have in their skin? So the approximate number, because, I don't expect you to be exact. But how many sweat glands does a chicken have in their skin? 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. An approximate answer. Remember, if you want to play, you call in and you got to press 1 so we know you're calling in to answer the question and get you in queue with the right caller. So how many sweat glands does a chicken have in their skin? Again, an approximate answer. Because we don't expect you to go and count every single one of them. So just an approximate is what we're looking for, and you'll win this awesome gift from Hobby Hill Farm, these really nice tile magnets. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And you can see them right now, HobbyHillFarm.com. And brand new, just released this prize. Probably the first set that they're ever going to mail out. They're so new. And it's going to be a listener and mitt winner of our radio show here at Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So that's what we're looking for. And you said Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. Sweet 16. Yes, sir, Sweet 16. But I got to tell you, the 16-year-olds these days are a lot more advanced and knowledgeable than when I was 16. We didn't know hardly anything compared to the youth today. I mean, we were still watching the Mouseketeers.
I wish they still were watching the Mouseketeers today and some of the crap they watch today on TV. I'll tell you that right now. So, my goodness gracious. I that's a whole nother show, a whole nother topic. I can't even, have you seen the way they dress? Oh, my God. not even going to go there. Okay.
It's very provocative, isn't it? Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
All righty.
Sweet 16. You're on the air with Andy and Pat calling from area code. There's a couple of you here, so I'm going to have to go through a little more numbers. 770-364. 770-364. That's you. Who is you?
This is Kimberly. How are you?
Kimberly, hey, congratulations. And yes, that's you. First, the question is, before you get these awesome magnets on this beautiful tile, and it just has to be an approximate answer, how many sweat glands does a chicken have in their skin?
Well, I figured I should go out and count them all, but I think there's none.
You're exactly right. You won't be counting for very long. It is none. And that's the exact answer we were looking for, though, you know, we would have taken an approximate if you actually went out and wanted to count them. So, yes, you are exactly right. The answer is zero. The answer is zero. So, congratulations. You've won this awesome, really nice set of magnets from HobbyHillFarm.com. Just send me again. Y'all know the drill. Name, address, phone number, and the prize you won to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. All righty, moving right along. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I think we've got three prizes to give away left, though. We've got two posters to give away from ManaPro, those beautiful breed posters, and we have today's normal prize, which we'll save for last, a really nice brooder lamp with dimmer switch and bulb valued at about $40. From critter-cages.com. So let's go ahead and give away the ManaPro posters, beautiful breed posters, and they're just so popular. They've been bragging about them in the chat room when they get them. And so I'm going to pick the caller, lucky number eight, and Pat has a question.
Okay, well, this is a southern question here, Whisper, just for you. You folks down there in the South, the question is, and I'm sure you know the answer, can okra seeds be eaten? Can okra seeds be eaten?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do. And actually down here, it's okra.
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 And how do you spell that?
I think it's spelled the same way the way you spell okra. Just look at the seed package.
That's like Warsh from Indiana. You know, we wash our clothes in the zinc. So
yeah. Okra, yep.
And okra seeds be eaten.
In fact, I normally watch her TV show. It comes on, I think, at 4 or 5 in the afternoon here. Okra, in fact, she's going off air. I think she's quitting her show after like 20 years or 25 years or something. But, yeah, I used to watch Okra. I know a lot of young ladies out there watch Okra every day on TV. But she's got her own network now, I think, out there. So.
Yeah.
Okra. All righty.
So can okra seeds be eaten?
Caller number, I think I said 8. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Caller number 8. This is for an awesome ManaPro breeds poster. Can you eat this okra seeds, or do you have to spit them out? Okra seeds. Yeah, down here in the South, it's famous. Okra seed spitting contest.
I bet. That's better than horseshoes. You know, you get really personal, up close and personal with your okra seeds.
Tom said he won the brooder lamp last month, and it is awesome.
Nice.
He really likes it, so good deal. Thanks for sharing that with us. And very, very good. Yep, this is for a poster. This is for a poster. Okay, let me get over here.
And Tom is three BYP in the chat room, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great. Congratulations, Tom. Cool. So can okra seeds be eaten?
Mm-hmm. We're looking for call number 8. Here we go. Call number 8, you're calling in and live with Andy and Pat from 678-678. You're live on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
678, I guess that's me. This is USMC Vet.
Ha-ha! My buddy Phil.
Hey,
how you doing?
USMC.
Hey, well, I got through. Haven't talked to y'all in a long time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We missed you in the chat room and whatnot, but we know you're a busy, busy guy, so we're glad you can join us when you can. And, Pat, repeat the question for USMC.
Yes, for USMC. The question is, can okra seeds be eaten? Can okra seeds be eaten?
Well, I grew some okra in my backyard last summer, and I did eat them, and I'm still alive, so my answer is yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing about okra seeds is they can be shelled. You know, those that go too old and you can't hardly cut in them, but you can shell the seeds and cook them like peas. So I don't know if that was part of your culinary cuisine down there or not. So, yes, you can eat okra seeds like peas.
He's still alive.
Well, I slice them up and fry them like popcorn.
Do they pop?
No, I'm like popcorn shrimp, you know. Little nibbles, little fried nibbles.
Oh, okay, little crunchies.
Yeah.
I've never tried that. I'll have to try that. Sure. Very good. I've grown fond of okra. I like to steam it, just the little fingerling pods, and then steam it. Then it's not so slimy.
If you eat boiled okra, my uncle always said, my grandpa always said, when you eat boiled okra, you got to eat it with your legs crossed or it'll slip right through you. I'm serious. My grandpa and my uncle still says that. You eat broiled okra, you got to eat it with your legs crossed. It'll slide right through you. But Phil said he ate the okra seeds last year and he didn't die. He's still around. But what he doesn't know is he's got a few okra plants growing in his tummy.
Yeah.
I had more than a green thumb. I got a green bum.
All righty. Well, thanks. Just email me over your information, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, ManaPro poster, your name, your address, shipping address, and we'll get that up to our good friend Laura at ManaPro.com. Okay, let's go ahead and move forward. In case we don't have time for this last poster, we can do a Facebook fan contest maybe over the weekend. But I want to give away this awesome brooder lamp with a dimmer switch and the 100-watt bulb that goes with it from our good friends over at critter-cages.com, critter-cages.com. And pick the number caller, Pat.
Well, we don't have much time. I'll take number four.
Okay, number four.
Number four.
And again, it has to match my answer. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I mean, this is the answer I have in front of me. I'm going to assume that it is true. So this is what we're looking for. Caller number four. What breed is the only breed that has a cushion comb? Now, it has to match my answer. If there ends up being another breed than this answer that has it, well, then sucks for you. But it has to match my answer. And if there is another answer that I don't have, then I can send you the exact email address where to send your complaint letters.
That's a really good question, and it's one of my favorite breeds.
Yes.
I love this breed, and I have them in my flock. So what breed is the only breed that has a cushioned comb? A good question, Whisper. I like that one.
Good. What breed is the only breed? Yeah. And this is for a great prize, too. Critter-cages.com, a brooder lamp with a dimmer switch. Really could come in handy.
Nice.
Dimmer switch.
Good idea.
And the bulb. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. We'll probably end up maybe over the weekend, maybe when I get checked into the bed and breakfast or whatnot, we may have a contest for the other poster with ManaPro. But folks, this is our fun Friday. Couldn't do it without our awesome sponsors. Again, how many times have I told you? We don't ask you to just run out there and buy something from them just to buy. But we do ask that when you need something anyway, when you got to have something for your coop, you're looking for a particular item, and it's time to buy, definitely look at our sponsors. We know times are tough. We don't want you to just run out there and buy because they're a sponsor. But when it's time to buy something, when you're in the market for something, check out our deals and our discounts and our sponsors because they allow this radio show to be broadcast. And all these prizes we give away directly from our sponsors. So it's so much fun, and we appreciate them. All righty, let's go. Call number four. Area code 207. You're on the air with Andy and Pat. State your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Andy. This is Laura
in the middle
of Maine. And my guess is the Chanticleer.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Whisper, it's your question.
No, that is correct. You're absolutely correct. It is, and we've got about 90 seconds left, so thank you very much for playing. That is correct, Chanticleer. And so thank you very much for tuning in today. Remember, folks, no radio show tomorrow. We'll be on the road heading up to Cooptastic to meet Dr. McCray, but there will be a show this Saturday. Mark your calendar, set those alarms. This Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live HD video, just like you're watching TV, from Cooptastic, plus radio, plus chat room. And we really hope you can tune in. I want to thank everybody in the chat room today. It was quite full. Thank Richard Friedenberger for coming on. And again, we got about 45 seconds. Pat, take it away.
Yes. Well, yes, all that you said and more. Thanks to Richard Friedenberger from Back Home Magazine for coming on and telling us about biomass heating of greenhouses with compost. And, of course, appreciation to our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along with us every day. Of course, Andy Schneider, have a safe and fun trip up to Cooptastic. We look forward to seeing what's going on up there and just come back safe and sound. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.